Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hello there, gang. It's Owen Murphy here with our weekly attempt to make you feel so much FOMO that you'll immediately sign up to the second captain's world service. Hey, Murph.
Hey, Owen, how's it going?
As you know, if you listen to either of Monday's shows, it's a very special musically themed week as we ushered in Second Captain's 90s hip hop week.
You want to talk about a playmaker?
Owen McDevitt from Ireland's Second Captain show.
That's a playmaker. Playmaker.
The Second Captain's podcast.
All five to be coming rushes.
The Second Captain's podcast.
It's finger licking good. Special.
Smush it.
Now, I'm going to tell you this too.
Smush it.
I have been hurting.
Smush it.
Because I have been having to tell the truth about Second Captain's show in Ireland. It's something finger licking good special. That's what I'm talking about.
And they do look great because we got that finger licking ass right.
And yes, we know Push It by Salt-N-Pepa is a 1980s track, but of course, it was such a banger that it inspired much of the great rap music that was to follow in the 90s, which is why it's absolutely fine.
It makes perfect sense.
That's why it's in the 90s hip-hop audio. But we've had Nas, we've had a bit of Wu-Tang, we've had World Service members growing up in North Belfast becoming so inspired by 90s hip-hop that they've ended up dedicating their careers to working in gang intervention.
Wow. There you go.
I go so far as to say this has been our most successful musically themed week yet, outside of Grunge Week 2019, which remains untouchable.
I remember
in so many ways it remains. Just don't touch it.
Yeah, please don't touch it. Hazmat only. Yeah.
Can't touch this, as MC Hammer. No, just don't touch this. And we've still got one more day to go with the entire World Service membership on tender hooks, waiting to see how we close out the week. Here's a little clue, especially for you guys.
Just hit the east side of the LBC.
It just had to be. It had to be. It will be. Mm. But our World Service members don't know it's going to be until.
If they give it like more than a second thought, they'll figure it out. But yes, I know what you're saying.
Probably. Listen, if you think that's a bit too mainstream for you, just sign up to the World Service right now. Deliver your requests. It's never too late. There's no doubt I've been the presenter who's really pushed 90s Hip Hop Week. Murph.
I got five on
the loonies. But in other ways, I've simply... Sorry, you're just like looking at me with a gorgeous kind of look. Just me sitting there saying the words Daloonies.
Yeah, I mean, that's there's a lot that's caused me to shake my head.
Can't stand it, Murph. I know you planned it.
Yeah.
I kind of said it's right.
You're back banging the table again. It's unbelievable.
So I've driven this, right? I've been a very active participant. But sometimes you just got to step back, step out of the way and allow others to do their thing. I'm thinking here of Ken's chat with Gabriele Marcotti on Wednesday's football podcast. It was a Champions League conversation for a period. Marcotti brilliant on Antonio Conte's record in the the competition, as well as Napoli's amazing performance this season. And then the two guys got onto the Super League. This was based around, I'm going to play a nice big long clip of this. This is based around Florentino Perez's continued insistence that the kids don't watch football anymore and football has to get these people back somehow. And by somehow, we know what he means, the Super League. So this is Gabriele answering Ken's question to kick it off about whether or not this is a legitimate concern of Perez or just nonsense, nonsense justification for the Super League plan that he will eventually just try to go ahead with anyway.
Like I said, and I say this to all my, not that I have many, Super League supporting friends.
Yeah.
You need to bring arguments. You need to bring data. You need to, and you know what really bugs me? Somebody should take a look at it. I know it's difficult. It's a difficult to get anybody interested in this because, let's face it, you know, you guys are Irish. I live in Britain. You guys don't really understand or have any concept of what basketball is.
Well, my mother was an international basketball player for Ireland. So, you know, I'm steeped in the game. Now, my sister and brother are swimmers. Oh. My mother was an international basketball player. But go on.
Okay, fair point. So, but 20 years ago, they formed a Super League in basketball. It's called EuroLeague. They basically, the big club, big European clubs, strong arm, they said, look, the NBA is going to dominate the world. We need to create a Super League. And they created something called EuroLeague basketball. And they forced the federation, they forced the equivalent of UEFA to go along with it. And now we have 20 years of data to see whether that was good or bad for basketball. Obviously, it's a different sport and all this other stuff, right? But this is what Florentino Perez wants to do, because it's something where I think there's like, I mean, depending on the season, there's like 20 clubs. A bunch of clubs have 10-year licenses, so they know that they're always in it, which gives them stability and financial planning, and they can spend more. Other clubs get shorter licenses. I think it's 3 years, or some get 2 years. Others win like the equivalent of basketball's Europa League, so then they qualify for one season. They can build on it. You know, qualify on merit, and they run alongside the national championships. And it's a good product to watch on television if you like basketball. It's not as good as the NBA, but it's, you know, certainly this undoubtedly the second best league in the world.
Yeah.
We have all this data. Why don't we see, was that good for the growth of basketball around Europe? Did it help the rest of European basketball? So if I was making an argument, I would bring this, and Perez knows it because Real Madrid are one of the founder of EuroLeague, and bring arguments, bring facts, you know, compare, contrast, use data there. Show me the data about youngsters. And you know what? Youngsters have short attention spans. Okay, do they still consume, you know, all this other stuff that goes around it? When they go on TikTok, do they watch somebody on TikTok doing a dance, or do they watch some Burke on TikTok talking about, you know, Terrell Malasia at Manchester United?
Yeah.
If they're still consuming content, can that content be monetized, even if maybe they're not sitting down for 2 hours?
Well, this is the whole thing. Ticket prices have something to do with this has to be the key point here, right? Because, you know, as you mentioned about Formula One and the boom of Formula One, that's all because of a Netflix show. It's literally that show has resurrected the sport of Formula One, or has dragged it out of this kind of weird obscurity it was in, just spanning this globe spanning obscurity of Formula One. And now it's like, has, you know, this sort of new generation of fans and all this buzz around it. That's what Real Madrid maybe should be looking at. Like, I mean, actually turning the club into a telenovela. Like, I remember Richard Arnold years ago describing Manchester United as, we're the biggest soap opera in the world, and looking quite pleased with himself as he said it. And now I'm thinking, no, you actually need to make an actual soap opera. You need to take it a step further and make an actual show. You can actually, I even have a name for it, House of the Devil, right? Call it House of the Devil and do like 10 or 12 episodes a season or whatever. And this is actually that's where the growth is. If you want to get people interested in your sport, then actually you just need narrative rather than like a change of competitions. It's a question of sculpting new narratives.
I agree with that. I also think, and I'm told, and again, I'm not a Formula One guy, although because of my family, I do have access to a set of Formula One mad 15-year-old boys and girls, my family, my daughter and her friends. And I also speak to, in my reporting, marketing people who look at the success of Formula One and ask themselves, is there a lesson to be learned there from football? I'm told that it's not just about Drive to Survive. It's about the way they use clips on social media. It's about the way they put data on the screen and people are into it. And, you know, the fact that it looks like a video game, whatever, right? I'm told there's more to it, but Drive to Survive obviously was a big part. But I take your point about the narrative. But the question, though, is, do we already have a natural, organic narrative around these clubs, right? In the form of forums and TikTok videos and talk radio and the internet and whatever, and people talking about the clubs? Or do we need an actual formal narrative, like you know, the Amazon series on City, or you know, the Sunderland Till I Die, or even freaking Wrexham.
Yeah,
like, does that actually help?
Because sorry, go on.
I'll tell you this, right? People have been doing stuff like that for a number of years now, and I'm not sure it moves a needle, right? So all or nothing, yeah, it's cool to see the thing. Pep Guardiola gives the little speech, but I kind of feel like everybody's done that. You know, Juventus spent a ton of money on a big series like this. I think, I can't remember if it was Netflix or Amazon. Did it move the needle at all? You know, when editorial controls with the club anyway, yeah, it's a curiosity. You watch it, like, you know, you might have watched the Neymar documentary or the Pogba one, but in the end, you know, does that make the difference? I think this idea of kind of turning it into a continuous narrative, I think it works for a while. It's what WWE's been doing for years. I don't know if that necessarily moves the needle. The other thing, too, is I'm assuming when you were 18, and this is a fun exercise you can all play at home, if you ask yourself the 10 things that you were into for entertainment, what you like to do with your spare time when you were 18 years old versus, you know, 10 years later, or however old you are now, and how many of those things are still the same, I'm going to guess, Ken, that you probably dress differently than you were, than you did when you were 18.
Yes.
Your musical tastes have probably changed as well.
No, not really.
Okay.
They remain lodged in the past.
But there's probably mine too, to be fair. But there's probably some things that you simply outgrow.
Yeah.
And that you were into then and you're not into now. And I'm not suggesting that Formula One fans are going to outgrow this, but I think we need to think about this. You know, we can't talk about young people as like, oh yeah, look, they, you know, like Florentino Perez always brings up freaking Fortnite as if it's like the only video game he's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't know. Do the kids still play Fortnite? Is Fortnite still a thing the way it was 10 years ago when people first started talking about it? People grow up, right? Mm-hmm. People have gamed online, I think, for the past 15 years, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of network gaming and whatever, and the gamer chairs and all this crap, right? Okay. So the guys who were doing it when they were 18, and they're now in their early 30s, are they still doing it? Have they moved on to something else? Because in the end, when you're talking about selling a sport, whether it's Formula One and the sponsorships and the brands, and or whether, you know, you're talking about buying tickets to the Champions League final, Real Madrid v Liverpool, you're pitching to people with money because those tickets cost a lot of money. So you need to find something that hooks the kids, but that they're going to stay with, so that when they become old enough that they can afford to buy your tickets and your hospitality package and, you know, buy that Rolex that's on the back of the Formula One car, that they can still afford it.
Yeah, there was a lot of love for Marcotti from our members after that chat, and a certain amount of grudging respect for Ken for standing his ground on the basketball score. Yeah. Well, I'm unplayed for Ireland.
Oh, I mean, listen, it's a killer own. You know, you actually just can't pass up that to stick it to Gabriele Marcotti.
Marcotti eventually, fair point. Marcotti, a man who's never backed down in any argument, has to concede that if your mother played basketball for your country, then you're not totally clueless on it. And he hasn't even seen Ken in all his basketball garb. Various NBA.
Well, I mean, he has met Ken. He's definitely seen him wear some NBA gear.
Here's a little more, Ken, on the SpoilSport Pep Guardiola hauling Erling Haaland off. Hauling Haaland? There was a pun there that I could have scripted in advance, but
no,
I'm going to try to work
my
way through.
To pronounce both words correctly. So
after
close together.
Scoring another two goals in 45 minutes.
Oh, he's something. I'm taking him off at halftime.
I
mean, if he scores,
I know what
a
you guys
hat trick,
less Haaland.
It was going to be a fourth hat trick.
Yeah.
Clearly, probably four goals in how many, nine matches or whatever it is. Insane. Since he scored his first hat trick, I mean, that's not the total number of these, but. Yeah, I mean, you talk about the second goal. I mean, the point about the second goal, obviously, is it's tapping into an empty net, but it's like, how does the ball just magnetically end up on his foot? You know, just, and this was Grealish after the game. Grealish, who also played really well, even got an unbelievable from Pep. So things are starting to fall into place for him. I mean, I think it's obviously like, Holland is the sun shining down and all the little flowers in the garden are blossoming, right? But like Erling has brought the sun and no one's looking at Grealish anymore going, oh, you know, why do we pay 100 million for this guy? And he's actually playing really well now. And
Pep in his little glass house going, well, you know, with a lot of work, actually my flowers are looking quite nice.
Pep is Don Corleone. Like,
I'm the sun. I shine on these flowers and they rise to previously unprecedented heights. But, you know, your little experiment there in the glass house, that's good for you
I like your little straw hat, Pep.
You don't sound too sympathetic to the plight of poor Jack Grealish there, Murph.
No, well, Jack Grealish is having literally the time of his life.
Just answering questions about Haaland all day long.
It's Pep Guardiola I feel sorry for. I really do feel sorry for him. I mean, this is actually humiliating what's happening to Pep Guardiola at the moment. All you had to do was spend some of that money on the best player in the world, and then you're going to win the Champions League. Why didn't you think of this before, Pep?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's a beautiful summer's day. The breeze is stupendous.
Stupendous. Stupendous.
Would this podcast be even more stupendous without ads?
Without ads?
Ads. If so, then join us for daily commercial-free shows at secondcaptains.com for just €5 a month.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not bumping them up. I'm not Irish. I'm just saying my observations, they are amazing.
Stupendous. Stupendous. Stupendous.
Now, allow me to take you on a little trip down memory lane. I'm sure that'll take some of you back to Saturday night in the early 90s watching ITV's The Big Fight. I can already picture Jim Rosendahl setting the scene for the latest British boxing mega fight. Of all the rivalries that defined the era, none was more compelling than that of Nigel Benn and Chris Eubank, who fought for the first time in November 1990 and then a rematch in 93. Almost 29 years to the day from that rematch, their sons, Chris Eubank Jr. and Conor Benn, are due to take up the family feud at the O2 Arena on Saturday night until a little spanner was thrown into the works courtesy of just a little old positive dope test for one of the combatants. Conor Benn, who I should say protests his innocence, says he's a clean athlete, just to put all those legal qualifiers in there that I have in the original broadcast, Murph.
And, you know, it just comes down to whether this matters or not, you know? It sounds like it should matter, doesn't it? And yet... Well, and yet, Owen, there are people out there that might be inclined to tell you, come on.
Both guys signed up to a multitude of testing for this fight. The UKAD testing, which is obviously the testing agency that the British Boxing Border Control use and are governed by, have all been clear and negative. And there was an adverse finding on a BARDA test previously. So there's not been an official doping violation. There's a process that has to be gone through. Conor Benn is not suspended by the British Boxing Border Control. Ultimately, he can't be because he's passed all the tests from UKAD. But clearly, the British Boxing Border Control will take a position on it. We'll deal with the lawyers. Both camps have been made aware, of course, previously to the article coming out about the situation, and both camps prepared to progress with the fight. But ultimately, the conversations have to be had with the lawyers and the teams and the British Boxing Border Control.
Yeah, the problem when you're Eddie Hearn and you do around 1,000 social media interviews a day is someone is always going to dredge up an old clip.
I don't need to save money. I want to put on good fights. So that was a good fight for the zone. So I'm disappointed. But what is the point in signing up for drug testing if when you fail, everyone just goes, oh, don't worry about it, just let him fight, you know?
Yeah.
So, and the argument of, well, it's all right with UKAD, It's totally irrelevant. You've signed drug testing with VADA, the best testing agency, in my opinion, in the sport.
The best testing agency in the sport. Just not the most relevant one this week to
But that was
my
his
argument.
He was just speaking his truth that week.
It's true.
This week it's a totally different scenario, Owen, and I'm shocked that you can't see that, quite frankly.
We cover that story in detail on the show today, so why not sign up to hear it? There's a lot of good stuff going on. Why don't you hear it all in full? You will also get every episode ad-free. And it only costs €5 a month plus VAT to sign up to the World Service. Remember, the Second Captain's podcast is part of the, what's it called?
Acast Creator Network. Network.
Thanks, Merv.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's World Service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.